Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. It's 2017. It's the first day of the year, and also the first Sunday of the year. As we begin this new year, we're going to be starting a three-part sermon series that is called Returning to the Heart of Worship. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be focusing on worship. What does it mean to worship? How should we go back and understand the true heart of worship as we have sang about earlier this morning? So in the secular world, we actually hear the word worship being used and thrown around a lot. And we'll say, oh, that girl is like a goddess. I worship her. Or he just beat the highest score in that video game. Let's go worship him. Or, oh, that celebrity has a great singing voice. I worship her. So like in the secular world, there is this use of the word worship. And it's really a little bit ironic because society seems to frown upon organized religion and the supernatural. But when people use the word worship, they idolize someone or something that is not a deity, as if they were a deity, even though they do not believe in the existence of a deity. So in other words, the word worship is being used to try to make something or someone into a deity or some sort of a god. But we come to church as Christians every single week and we say that we worship God. I mean, what is worship then? I mean, we aren't saying, oh, we worship God in the sense that we are making God into someone who is the supernatural, the deity. But rather, we worship God because of who God already is. God is already the deity. God is already God over the universe, the creator of everything, the origin of everything. So we have to understand that there is a difference between the way that Christians use the word worship and how the secular world also uses the word worship at the same time. So again, how should we worship? What is worship? Or has worship been something that we go through the motions every single week, we sing songs, and it's something that we're just supposed to do because we are a Christian? So for the next couple of weeks again, we'll be going through this sermon series on worship and understanding how do we return and come back to a true heart of worship. Let's go to God's word today and see what he has to teach us. If you have your Bibles, please take them out. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be focusing on verses 19 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Please follow along as I read. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you in worship, and we desire to worship you with a true heart. And I pray that throughout these next couple of weeks, as we look into your word, as we go through this sermon series, that you will reveal to us and show us how should we worship. How should we worship? Not in the way that the rest of the world worships in terms of like their idols, but show us as Christians, what does it mean to worship the true and living God? Forgive us when we are just going through the motions, or maybe even right now, we just feel very far away from you. Or we may just feel that, God, you're not knowable, that you're not personable, that you're just so distant from us because you're just a God that's up there and we're just down here on earth. Show us why we can be able to approach you in worship. We lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in this passage, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25, something interesting about all these verses. In the original Greek, apparently all these verses is one long run-on sentence. If your English teacher were to correct your essay and you had a one run-long sentence just as long as like from verses 90 to 25, I'm sure your English teacher will probably deduct some points from you. But I guess in Greek it's probably acceptable, but the author also does this in a way to intensify this message that he's trying to say to his readers. And what is this message? First, he gives a call or a command for his readers. So starting from verse 19, he says, "Therefore, brothers," and then skip all the way down to verse 22. "Therefore, brothers, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So the first call to action that is here is for us to draw near to God, to approach God in worship. And all the other verses that we skipped in between, from the second half of verse 19 to verse 21, it gives us reasons for why we are to draw near to God, why we are to approach this God. And as I mentioned, God is a being who is pure, who is holy, who is above all creation, who's without sin. But then each and every one of us, we're sinners. We have done wrong. We don't even deserve to be in the presence of God. So why or how can the author of Hebrews tell us that we can approach God, even be in his presence to worship him? So as I mentioned, from verses 19 to 21, it gives us the reasons for why we can approach God in worship. And I would summarize these verses here in one main point. Yes, I know I usually have three main points for my sermons, but today we only have one, so it makes it easier for you to remember. So we can approach God in worship because we have a covenantal relationship with him. We can approach God in worship because we have a covenantal relationship with him. And this is important for us to know first. If we want to return back to the heart of worship, we have to understand why we can approach God, this God who is pure and holy, and above all things while we are sinners. We have a relationship with God. I'm sure you can think about the relationships that you have maybe with your family or with your friends. I mean, think about the best relationship, like maybe with a best friend. However great that relationship is, your relationship with God should be even greater than that, should be even more deeper and intimate than that. Because it's not just simply a relationship, it is a covenant relationship. What is a covenant then? Well, a covenant, in a general sense, is basically a binding agreement between two parties in which promises are made and are fulfilled. So let's take for example, like think back to elementary school. You may have a best friend. You may call him your BFF. And to signify this best friend relationship, you may make like a, if you're a girl, maybe like a friendship bracelet. Or if you're a guy, maybe you have a secret handshake or something. But this is something that's special between you and your best friend. You make a promise to each other that you won't play with any other kids, that you'll just play with them, and you spend all of your time during recess with that person. I mean, that's in one sense an example of a covenant relationship. When it comes to marriage, yes, I know many of you are young here, not even thinking about marriage yet, but when you marry someone, you are also in a covenant relationship. You are making a covenant. You're making promises and commitments like in a marriage relationship between a man and a woman. You promise to love each other in sickness or in death, in poverty or wealth, till death do us part. So help me God. So this covenant is it signifies such a deep relationship that is between two parties. And scripture also talks about how we are actually married to God. It talks about how Christ is the groom while the church is his bride. So what is this covenantal relationship that we have with God? What are the promises that are involved? And how does this relate to why we can be able to approach in the presence of God and worship him? So we'll explore this and see these reasons as we continue on this passage. Let's read from verse 19 here again of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. The author of Hebrews says that we have this great confidence to approach the holy places. I'm sure that you can all think of something that you are scared of, something that you won't have confidence approaching, whether it is something or whether it's a person. I remember when I was a very little, I had attended a birthday party at my friend's house, and they had one of these parties where they invited like a bunch of a guy to bring in a bunch of reptiles and snakes, and I mean, I guess little kids love it. But I think as a little kid back then, I was kind of a little bit of a scaredy cat, because there's this big giant yellow python. I mean, it was like 100 feet long. I mean, not really, but like to a little kid, it was very, very big, and I didn't even want to touch or even like come closer. All the other kids were like petting it like if it was a dog or something, but I stood my distance. I didn't have the confidence to enter in the presence of this very scary python. So you know what I settled with? I settled with this small little turtle. So I just held it in my little hand, and then it started moving. I was like, ugh! And then I dropped it. So I felt very bad for it. So I'm scared of a python, and I'm scared of a turtle. I guess in the past, I think some of you, you know who you are, have expressed to me that before they were even scared of me. Because apparently, I don't really smile a lot, and I just look very mean. So like, you can't, people just don't get the sense that they want to come in and talk with me, or want to even like be in my presence. So we can all think of something where we are afraid. We don't have the confidence to enter in the presence of something. But here, the author of Hebrews says, we have the confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, in verse 19. So the holy places, this is referring to in the Jewish temples. So in the Jewish temples, you have the outer courts, which is mainly where the Gentiles can come to worship God and do their thing. Then you have the inner courts. The Gentiles, or in other words, the non-Jews, aren't allowed to enter, but then you have the Jewish people who are. And then right in the center of the temple, you have the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, usually separated by a curtain. And this is where, I guess, usually the Ark of the Covenant dwelt, or where it's representative of God's presence being there. So there's usually a veil or a curtain that divides the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. And only the high priest, once a year, after cleansing themselves and doing all these ceremonies, can come past the curtain, into the Holy of Holies, where the high priest can be able to offer an animal sacrifice. To offer an animal sacrifice to God so that for the forgiveness of sins of not only him, but also for the whole people of Israel, and including the unintentional sins as well. You see, this is part of the old covenant. Remember how I said that we have a covenant relationship with God. But back then, with the ancient Israelites, God had a covenant with them. It's an old covenant. And the mediator of the old covenant is Moses. So many of you know about Moses and how God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, gave him the law. So in this covenant, the people of Israel were required to obey and keep the law. And in turn, there is the promise of protection. There is the promise of blessing. So this is the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, that is summarized in its promises. So this part of the following the law involves requiring these daily sacrifices of animals for sin, and also not entering the Holy of Holies. There's the food laws and all these rules, I guess you say, that the people had to obey. So, but once again, the author of Hebrews says that we can have confidence to enter the holy place. Now, before, the people of Israel, they didn't even want to enter the Holy of Holies. They're not allowed to. That's where God's presence dwells. God is so holy. God is above all creation. And like, if you were ever in the presence of God and all of his glory, you would shield your eyes. And in some cases, people have died because they have mishandled the Ark of the Covenant, or they have went into the presence of God like that. I mean, this is how serious it was. But here, we are told that we can have confidence to enter the holy places. We can have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies. And this is because God has instituted a new covenant with his people. So this is where we come in. So in the past, for the Israelites, God had made an old covenant with them. But here, there is a new covenant with his people. And the new covenant is called new because it has better promises. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it mentions about that. And it mentions in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, that the old covenant is not faultless. So there's a problem. There's an issue with that. And also, so as a result, the new covenant renders the old covenant obsolete. So it mentions that in chapter 8, verse 13. So something that becomes obsolete. So for example, I know a lot of you are Apple fanatics. You have iPhones, iPads. I'm trying to move away from Apple. I don't know, I just don't like it anymore. It's kind of ironic since I'm still using an iPad. But newer versions of iPhones keep on coming out every year. You may have an iPhone 7, think it's already new, but then when the iPhone 8 comes out, it already renders iPhone 7 obsolete, because iPhone 8 is supposedly supposed to have like better features and better hardware, better software, and even in a sense, eventually products will become obsolete because the software won't update anymore. I owned a second generation iPod Touch, and it still runs iOS 4, and right now we're on what, iOS 10. So like newer apps that are developed won't run on iOS 4. So it makes this iPod Touch like pretty much useless. It's obsolete. So and I talk about that because it paints a good picture of what it means for something to be obsolete, to be rendered like almost useless. So the new covenant renders the old covenant obsolete, once again because it has better promises, once again because there's a problem with the old covenant. So how does the new covenant that we have with God in this relationship give us confidence to enter the holy place? Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. So it's through the blood of Jesus, through Jesus' death on the cross. This is why we can enter the Holy of Holies. This is why we can enter in the presence of God. Verse 20, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. Did you know that scripture talks about how on the day when Christ was crucified, when he died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, the curtain in the temple tore in two? Mark chapter 15, verses 37 to 38 says this, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So remember, I said in the Jewish temple, the curtain was there to divide the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. But after Jesus died on the cross and breathed his last, it says that the curtain torn in two. So that symbolizes that there is an openness, that we can be able to enter in the Holy of Holies, that we don't have to go through all these ceremonial things and offer animal sacrifices. Each and every one of us can now approach and be in the presence of God. So that is one reason for why we can enter in the presence of God and worship. And also at the same time, read verse 21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. So in the new covenant, in the old covenant, Moses is the mediator. But in the new covenant, Jesus Christ is the mediator. In verse 22, verse 21 says that Jesus Christ is the high priest. Remember, before it was only the high priest that can enter the Holy of Holies once a year after cleansing himself and to offer this animal sacrifice for the covering of sins of all the people. But here it says that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And not only is he our great high priest, our mediator to intercede for us, but he's also the sacrificial lamb. So he's both. He's both the priest and the sacrificial lamb that is enough to cover sins of everyone. Whereas before, people had to offer animal sacrifices each daily, every single day, because we keep on sinning. But Jesus died on the cross. He's the one-time sacrifice. And because Jesus is God, he's never sinned. He becomes that perfect sacrifice to cover all sin. So that is the second reason that is given here for why we can approach God in worship. So in the Old Covenant, God promised blessings and protection as a promise for those who obey and keep his law. But it's not faultless. We know that no one can completely fulfill and keep the law perfectly. So that's why God had given us the new covenant. And in this new covenant, there's a promise of the forgiveness of sin and the restoration of fellowship for those who turn towards God through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. So if we are a believer in Christ today, we are in a new covenant relationship with God. Isn't it great to be in communion, to be in this close relationship with the God of the universe? It's so loving. It's so intimate. Again, think about the best relationship that you can have here on earth. Your relationship with God in a covenant should be greater than that, infinitely greater than that. It is full of love, grace, and mercy and forgiveness. And if you're not a believer here today, you can also enter in the promises of the new covenant through putting your faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, just talk with any Christian. They can share about their testimony. They can share about how God had changed them once they were living a life of sin and they were in despair and they were depressed and they were hopeless. But yet after entering into a relationship with God through the new covenant, there is transformation. There is change. So for us as Christians, are we living that life in a way where other people look at us, they can see that there's something different? Where they can, if they know that we believe in God, that they would ask, how can I believe in God and experience and have what you have? How can I experience and have eternal life in the future? Because of this great new covenant relationship that we have with God, we can be able to draw near to God with a true heart and approach him in worship. Verse 22. That is why the author of Hebrews says, let us draw near, to come close to God, to approach him. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When we worship with a true heart, it says here that we should have the assurance of faith. We should have security of our salvation. We should never fear that God will take this relationship away from us or that we will ever lose our salvation. Because once we trust in Jesus Christ, there is that security. We can have full assurance of our faith. Also, when we worship God with a true heart, we should enjoy freedom from guilt. In the ESV, from where I'm reading, it talks in verse 22, it talks about being sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. But if you're reading from the NIV, it would actually say guilty conscience. So worshiping God with a true heart should be free from any guilt of any sin, because we know of what Jesus Christ had done on the cross for us. When we worship God, do we worship in a way where we know that we have security, we have assurance of our salvation, of our faith? When we worship God with a true heart, do we worship in a way where we don't experience any guilt at all? Furthermore, read verse 23. The author of Hebrews continues and gives us another call. So another let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So it's not only about assurance of faith, in verse 22, but in verse 23, but it is holding fast to the confession of hope. So true heart of worship should express hope in God's promises in the new covenant of forgiveness and sin, salvation, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. We can have this hope to know that these promises from the new covenant will be given to us. When we worship God, do we dwell upon that hope? So it's not only faith, it's not only hope, but one more thing too. And there's one more call that the author of Hebrews gives us here. Read verse 24. And here is another, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's not only the assurance of faith, it's not only the confession of the hope, but it also says to stir up one another to love. So you see faith, hope, and love here, which is pretty interesting. So when we approach to worship God, it's not only something that we do individually. Yes, we have this covenant relationship with God, and it's supposed to be a personal thing. It's supposed to be an intimate thing between us and God, but it's not just individually as well. But it is. But worship is an act that we should do communally. Worship is an act that we should come together as a church in doing, as we're doing right now. So it's not only that our vertical relationship of God with God is affected, but also our horizontal relationships with one another. Worship with a true heart should also involve worshiping as a community together. So to conclude and wrap up from everything that we learned in this passage, there's one main point, and I said that we can be able to approach God in worship because we have a covenantal relationship with him. And it's not just any covenant relationship, it's the covenant of the new covenant. And according to the new covenant, God has promised us forgiveness of sin, restoration and fellowship for those who turn towards God through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. In this new covenant, Jesus is our mediator. He's our high priest between God and us. And he provided us this way for us to approach him, even though he's such a great and holy God, while we are still sinners. Isn't it great to know and understand that we have this covenant relationship with God that is so deep? If we want to turn back and return to the heart of worship, we should remind ourselves daily about this covenant relationship that we have with him. And as a result, it should lead us to worship with a true heart. And when we worship with a true heart, we should have the assurance of our faith and our salvation. We should enjoy freedom from guilt of sin. We should express hope in the promises of the new covenant. And we should worship together in community, in a community, not only individually as well. So my brothers and sisters, let us return to this heart of worship by remembering our covenantal relationship with God. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll continue to explore more about what does it mean to return back to a heart of worship. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift you up and we praise you on high. You are above all things. Even though that we have sinned, we have turned away from you, we have done things that aren't pleasing in your sight, but yet you would still choose us, that you would still provide a way through Jesus Christ in the new covenant to be able to provide us a way to come towards you, to be able to find forgiveness of sin and to be in heaven with you one day and have eternal life. We don't deserve any of this. Forgive us, Lord, when we have forgotten about this relationship we have with you. We take it for granted. We go through church every single Sunday, just worshiping, singing songs, and living our lives without remembering back to the beginning, to the very source of why we can even approach you in worship in the first place. Father, I pray that as Scripture has said, that we would continue to stir one another on towards love and good works and worship with one another. God, thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who hasn't accepted you as your personal savior. And they can also enter in the promises of the new covenants through believing in Jesus Christ. May we continue to pray for these brothers and sisters who also need to know you too. Father, let us continue our time of worship in song and continue our time of worship even as we leave the sanctuary, as we live out our lives, as we go about in our relationships, in our work, and in our school life. Help us worship you with a true heart. Father, we lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.